Wisconsin has a problem, a big problem, when it comes to alcohol abuse. That's according to our guest this hour and many others, who says it is high time we do something about it. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Wednesday, November the 12th. Our guest this hour is from a newly formed coalition of health groups that wants to reduce drunk driving, decrease underage drinking, and protect the health and safety of Wisconsin residents in the fight against alcohol abuse. The group AWARE, All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education, announced its effort during a news conference yesterday in Madison and released its proposed legislative agenda. We will welcome your reactions to the proposals and will welcome your own ideas as well as we go along this hour. Our guest is John Sender. He is a spokesperson for UW Health, which is leading the AWARE effort, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So why is UW Health leading this effort?
Well, UW Health is comprised of the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, University of Wisconsin Hospital Clinics, and the clinical faculty at the UW. We treat the state of Wisconsin. We have clinics, outreach that touches the entire state, and we embrace the Wisconsin idea. Wisconsin has a significant healthcare problem when it relates to the excessive consumption of alcohol. The current situation in Wisconsin is so dire, we feel it's time to act, and act now.
Yeah. Tell us about the scope of this healthcare problem. You called it significant and dire. How so?
Well, for some time, Wisconsin has been a leader when it comes to alcohol abuse, excessive consumption of alcohol. Currently, Wisconsin ranks at or near the top of national rankings for high risk and heavy drinking. We lead the nation in alcohol consumption, binge drinking, and heavy drinking. And when it comes to underage drinking, the statistics are deplorable. We lead the country when it comes to underage drinking, underage binge drinking, and drinking among women of childbearing age. In fact, when you look at all the alcohol consumed in Wisconsin, nearly 17% is consumed by underage drinkers.
Yeah, that is mind-boggling. But so are our kids drink before they're 21. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is that excessive consumption of alcohol can lead to other problems. It can lead to accidents, incidents, some of which can be fatal. We know that drunk drivers commit the vast majority of auto-related incidents in Wisconsin. Alcohol consumption, excessive alcohol consumption, leads to risky behavior, fights, abuse, things like falling off of balconies. It's a bad situation. Your judgment is impaired. Underage drinkers, we're talking about people from, you know, kids, 12-year-old to 18, 19-year-old kids, don't have the judgment necessary. They already have, as a parent, you might see that all teenagers have impaired judgment of some kind. Throwing alcohol into the mix doesn't help things.
Yeah. Well, you know, Wisconsin has always prided itself in its, it's a heritage, its culture, its having a good time and drinking its beer. Is this problem getting worse, do you think, or has this always been this way?
Well, first of all, we're not talking about social drinking. We're talking about excessive consumption of alcohol and underage drinking. I think when you look at the statistics, we are becoming an island amongst the other states in this country when it comes to these rates of alcohol abuse. And that's a bad thing. You know, just when you look at the health care costs, the direct health care costs, there's a huge burden on our society in Wisconsin, on our hospitals, health care providers, in taking care of these patients. They're heavy users of our system. A lot of the care is uncompensated for a variety of reasons. And we're looking at billions of dollars, maybe $5 billion, just in the health care consequences of excessive alcohol.
One of the items on your legislative agenda that was announced yesterday has to do with those uncompensated costs of the medical care. Talk about some insurers will not pay for the costs of someone who got into an accident if they were drunk.
Right. Wisconsin law is silent. It's kind of a loophole, you might say. Some policies may cover alcohol-related incidents, but they don't have to. And when this care is not provided for, not covered, that means that patients have to deal with the costs, the mounting costs of a hospitalization or care resulting from alcohol abuse. It means that their care isn't compensated. It means that healthcare providers can't diagnose and treat these illnesses. We feel that the law has to no longer be silent. It has to address coverage and benefits for people so that we can adequately treat victims and the alcohol abusers themselves.
We are talking with John Sender. He's a spokesperson for UW Health, which is leading the AWARE effort. That stands for All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. AWARE announced its existence yesterday and also released a legislative agenda, what policy changes that the group would like to see the Wisconsin legislature take to crack down on the problems of excessive drinking in Wisconsin, drunken driving, underage drinking, binge drinking. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this problem and the proposed solutions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 12th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben and his guest talking about current issues of the day. And speaking of important current issues of the day, coming up after 8 o'clock, never mind talk of cabinet appointments in the Obama administration. The focus now is on picking the nation's first puppy. And we will talk about what the Obama should consider when picking that first puppy coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the problems of drunken driving, underage drinking, excessive drinking in Wisconsin, and what AWARE wants to see done about it. AWARE is a new coalition of healthcare providers in Wisconsin that wants to strengthen state laws to fight alcohol abuse and its problems in this state. Our guest is John Sender. He is a spokesperson for UW Health. We have lots of callers, John Sender, but your legislative agenda focuses on what is it that you want to see the state legislature do first off?
In addition to changing those insurance laws that we talked about earlier so that insurance, health insurance, covers the incidence of alcohol abuse, we also want to convert the first operating while intoxicated offense to a criminal penalty. We want to increase the fine for the first OWI. We want to institute a felony charge after a person's third OWI arrest. We would support expanded use of ignition interlock devices, and we also think we ought to talk about and possibly expand and legalize sobriety checkpoints in Wisconsin.
Let's hold you there because we have a caller who has a comment along those lines. Gary in Wauwatosa, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. All you need to do is know someone that works in the court system to hear how common and every day it is to have drunk drivers in court. Monday, second time drunk driver, sentenced, taken into custody, go to jail, hit two women in Milwaukee crossing the street. They were crossing legally. He hit and injured them both. They'll never be the same. He got 6 months. A woman yesterday in court, fourth time drunk driving, her car went airborne, landed on top of another car with a woman in it, parked, and if she hadn't been bending over to reach down to pick something up off the floor of the car, she would have been sitting upright and been injured. Fourth time, you see Marquette students on State Street, Weld, stumbling down the street in the afternoon, workplace, drunk people at work over and over again, crane operator, drunk. They're everywhere. We need those checkpoints. How hard is it for a police officer just to sit outside of a tavern and wait for someone to stumble out of the tavern and get in a car? It's the tavern leagues. It's lobbyists, working against the common citizen, against our protection from the police and every other department that would protect us. We need for these first-time drunk drivers to get more than just a ticket, because it's not scaring them. Two times, three times, four times, five times, it's not scaring them. They're driving without licenses. They're using other people's cars. Other people are buying the cars for them. They're not licensing them. They're not registering them. They're not getting insurance.
Well,
and they're out
Gary,
there.
Gary, thank you so much. I guess my thought is that... You know, the first time is not considered a crime. It's considered like a traffic offense. And somehow by saying that's a crime and maybe upping the fine, you think that's really going to make a big difference, John Sender?
Well, I think it will make a big difference. It will signal to the people of Wisconsin that these are serious offenses. Currently, Wisconsin is one of only two states in the nation that do not issue a felony charge until a person's fifth OWI. Yeah. We have this, we have sort of a permissive culture in Wisconsin when it comes to excessive consumption of alcohol. We need to change that. The status quo, as your caller just indicated, is terrible, and we need to change the status quo. And enacting stricter laws, getting tougher, changing our approaches, how we feel about this problem. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. We need to get serious.
Yeah. Any idea? I mean, I would think that many would say, yes, we should do that, but why wait until the third offense to make it a felony? Is there some reasoning behind that?
Well, we feel that starting with the first offense, there should be stricter penalties and steadily build. I think what states are finding as the penalties become stricter and harder, where they become basically three strikes and you're out type of things, people get the message. It's clearly working because other states have fewer problems than we do.
Really? I was wondering, though, if aren't the people who are arrested for their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth drunk driving offense, aren't they? They're alcoholics who can't control themselves. Isn't that what's going on? I mean, will a tough fine or a felony really stop them?
Well, this is not necessarily a problem of alcoholism. It's a problem of excessive abuse of alcohol. That's really what we're talking about. Not social drinking. We're talking about people who consume too much alcohol. At one time, you know, binge drinkers, which we lead the nation in, that's where we feel we can make a big difference. Now, alcoholics, people who have the disease of alcohol, who are repeat offenders, they need help. Obviously, we need to get strict with them. But and that's a serious problem. But what we're really talking about is this overall culture where Wisconsinites lead the nation in just the consumption of alcohol. The average Wisconsinite consumes somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 gallons of alcohol annually.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for the call and your vivid illustration of all of the problems associated with this. One thing that he mentioned that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with drunk driving laws was Marquette University students stumbling around in the middle of the day, he said, in the Milwaukee area. What do we do about kids who are, you know, stumbling around underage drinkers?
We have three possible action steps that we'd recommend. One, we'd make mandatory the license suspension for underage consumption or possession of alcohol. We want to increase alcohol education for underage drinking, and we want to uniformly enforce all the laws that are on the books against underage alcohol use and widely publicize those efforts. To some degree, I think we would argue that to attack the problem of underage drinking, you have to change the culture. You have to educate parents. You have to educate the teachers, people who have constant contact with youngsters, and that's why we have a statewide coalition. We're reaching out to educators, people in the healthcare industry, healthcare providers, law enforcement, to join together to begin not only these legislative changes, but a massive education and cultural change in Wisconsin.
Next we go to Donna in Ashland. Hi, Donna.
Hello there. I am on the Ashland County Board, among other things, and the Ashland County Highway Safety Committee, so I'm no stranger to this. I wanted to throw in a couple things specifically about women and teens. Our alcohol abuse rate in this state is so high that we have one of the highest fetal alcohol syndrome rates in this state. Also, among our teenagers, the rate of sexually transmitted diseases is higher as a result of the alcohol consumption of our young people. When I moved up here from Illinois, the first thing I discovered was what I call a cult of alcohol use. Alcohol use is ingrained in absolutely everything we do up here in the North Woods. And we're going to have to start to educate on a very young level. But let me close by saying one of the things I would like you to do, sir, is to get in touch with the Wisconsin Counties Association to get the counties on board with this. This is where it filters down, literally and figuratively, is to the county and town level. If we don't break this cult, we're going nowhere. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for another call that signifies the seriousness of this problem. Fetal alcohol syndrome, STDs among kids, highest rates in the nation.
Right. We lead the nation in drinking among women of childbearing age. As I said earlier, when you're drinking excessively, your judgment is impaired. Young people drinking, they're going to get into trouble. It's a bad thing. Healthcare providers will talk about the physiological issues that involve excessive consumption of alcohol when you're young, but it's also judgment issues. Yeah. It's getting into trouble.
What about this cult of alcohol abuse or use that Donna brings up? Education at a young age, the key to breaking that cult?
Well, I think we need to examine not only education, but just our culture in general. I was talking to a friend of mine about his organization that does a lot of social activities around Wisconsin, and alcohol is a big part of those activities. And he said, maybe we need to reexamine that. Maybe we shouldn't be serving beer. Maybe we need to be looking at the role of alcohol in our activities. People talk about the Tavern League and their activities related to opposing these law changes. But I think, when you really look at where the consumption of alcohol is occurring, a lot of times it's at church socials, it's at community groups, it's at tailgates, it's at family gatherings. And we have to attack the problem there as much as we have to attack the problem anywhere.
I'll try to sneak one more in before news time. Bob and Nina. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Many years ago, before the Wisconsin raised the drinking age to 21, Neno was the first city in the state to adopt an amendment resolution to raise the drinking age to 21. And how this came about was that kids were brought in from Winnebago State Hospital to testify what age they started drinking at, and then some of them started drinking at 9, 10, 11, and 12 years old. And that convinced the Neenah Common Council to support a resolution raising the drinking age to 21. Now, that brings up another point. In Neenah, last year we lost a bicyclist to a drunk driver that was when he was killed a Sunday morning after this lady had been drinking.
Bob, I'm sorry to cut you short here. I only had a short time before news, and here it is. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday, November the 12th. A group of healthcare providers in Wisconsin wants the state to strengthen its laws to fight drunken driving and other problems associated with excessive drinking in Wisconsin. The coalition announced its proposed legislative agenda during a news conference yesterday, and we are talking about it this hour with John Sender. He is a spokesperson for UW Health, which is leading the AWARE effort. That stands for All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. We're welcoming your questions and comments about the extent of the problem of alcohol abuse in Wisconsin and what can be done about it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Just before news time, John Sender, we heard from a caller, Bob and Nina, who made a couple of points. The first being that Nina was one of the first cities, he says, in the state to advocate a older drinking age of 21 back in the day. And he said that was because people were in town were reporting that kids were starting drinking at 9, 10, 11 years old. That's pretty young to be you know, having your, you know, drinking regularly. I mean, everybody gets, you know, the sip of wine maybe or beer at the Christmas party, but that's is that the extent of the problem still today, that young kids like that are boozing it?
In Wisconsin, they are. We lead the nation in underage drinking and underage binge drinking. It is a massive problem. And these problems start at a young age. And we have this permissive culture. We have this idea that alcohol abuse, getting drunk, is okay. And it's not. There are significant health problems, significant social problems, and a cost to Wisconsin with this underage drinking and overall excessive consumption of alcohol.
Yeah. And Bob wasn't able to finish the story, but I'm aware of it. There was a terrible accident in Neenah involving a drunk driver killing one or two, I believe, people in this accident. The person charged with the crime had been drinking all day long at a bar that had opened up early in the morning, and this accident, you know, happened like in the afternoon. He was going to propose that something ought to be done. We shouldn't have bars open at, you know, early in the morning for people to just sit there and drink all day. Does your proposed legislative agenda have anything to say about bar times?
No, that's not on our legislative agenda. Again, we're not talking about social drinking. We're not talking about, you know, one or two drinks spaced over a period of time, which is, you know, fine. A lot of us do that. We're talking about people who are drunk and then get into cars and get into trouble.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Dave in Ellison Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'll respond to the legislative part in this way. As I told your screener, my passion for this has to do with the fact that I have a daughter who was killed a couple years ago as a result of drunk driving.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
and
terrible.
She was also the victim of being wrongly served in a local tavern in Ellison Bay. And what I found out initially, I mean, other than the, you know, having to deal with the tragedy of her death, was the local officials were more than willing to look the other way on laws that could have been enforced more strictly or at all. And that, you know, frankly, all the efforts, and I'm, as you might imagine, I'm pretty well informed about what's going on now, especially out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel series that is still going on, is that most of the legislative efforts are focused on what I would call the consumption side and not the supply side. My daughter was not only wrongly served in a tavern, she was illegally overserved. And that could easily have been proved by toxicology reports and a thorough investigation. But the law, there's a statute in Wisconsin that makes it illegal to serve someone who is either known to be intoxicated or who the server has reason to believe is intoxicated.
Right.
Well, local authorities were not willing to even look at that. Matter of fact, when I brought it up, they didn't seem to know anything about it. But anyway, I'll just close by saying that if, no, I agree. First offense needs to be a misdemeanor. The laws existing seem to clearly enable repeat offenders, but if all of the attention or all of the energy in legislation is to either put, you know, a net over the whole community through things like sobriety checkpoints or focus only on the consumption side and punish people who possibly are either chemically dependent or, you know, they have something that is largely out of their control, and not focus on the supply side, where, you know, taverns and bars have, and I found this out, you know, in the most difficult circumstances, they have almost blanket immunity from both civil and criminal prosecution or liability. And so they have no incentive, really, no legal incentive, or even financial incentive to not overserve people.
Yeah, so, Dave,
you know,
I am so sorry for
only one side of this. To me, is short-sighted, and probably, you know, I mean, obviously, your guest is somewhat aware, or will soon find out about the uphill struggle in the legislature. So, the other thing I like to say is that, you know, community awareness, and I mean, the fact that we even have to debate whether or not we have a problem with excessive alcohol use in Wisconsin, to me, is evidence of a very serious problem called denial, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not sure there's a debate over whether it's a problem or not, but certainly there will be a debate over what to do about it. Dave, I'm so sorry for your loss. We're coming up on a weather break, too, so I don't need to get into all the details of your tragic case, but there is a law on the books that tavern bartenders can be, or tavern owners can get in trouble for serving someone who is not supposed, who is already drunk, I thought.
Right. Well, we would support and encourage the uniform enforcement of all the laws related to this. And that's why we want to have a statewide coalition. I think having this discussion, this dialogue, is critical if we're going to change attitudes. So people like Dave and some of your other callers, we'd invite them to come to our website, uwhealth.org/aware, and testify to us, tell us your story, become involved. By having a statewide coalition, we think we can hopefully change the culture in Wisconsin.
Yeah, give us that website again.
It's uwhealth.org/aware, AWARE.
Yeah, and you're looking for people's suggestions and stories on
Yes, absolutely. We want to hear from people. We want their stories. And again, we're reaching out statewide to organizations, associations involved in healthcare, education, law enforcement, community-type organizations to join with us, help us build a coalition to change the laws in Wisconsin and to change the culture in Wisconsin and get it going once and for all.
Yeah. Dave brought up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel series on this problem and the proposed fixes. Your group is on the record saying that kind of educational effort is important.
The Journal Sentinel's series has been fantastic. I believe Gannett Papers in Wisconsin, the Appleton Post-Crescent, also did a magnificent series on abuses and the story in Wisconsin. Our newspapers are very much aware, and they're trying to educate people. But we need to do this at a global level, get everyone involved from the neighborhoods to the statewide organizations, statewide efforts to change the status quo in our state.
We're talking about changing the status quo in our state when it comes to alcohol abuse with our guest, John Sender, spokesperson for UW Health, which is leading the AWARE effort that stands for All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this problem and its solutions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check weather, and then we'll get to more of your calls. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest from the Wisconsin Humane Society about why what any family, presidential or otherwise, should consider when planning to get a pooch. We're going to be talking about what a lot of people are talking about, that being what kind of dog should the Obamas get when they move into the White House and where should they get it from. Peru has offered its national dog. It's a hairless toothless dog that they think the Obamas should get. We'll talk about your suggestions after 8 o'clock. Our next caller, as we talk about alcohol abuse in Wisconsin, is Dave in Wausau. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me good?
Yes.
Now I'm all distracted. You're talking about the president-elect's puppy.
Sorry about that. Yeah. So you wanted to talk, though, about...
Here's how I feel about this, and I work with addicts, and a lot of them are people who have received multiple OWIs. I work with them in my career. And look, the real issue here is that alcohol is an undisputed, physiologically addictive substance that's legal. We give tougher penalties to use of substances that are proven to be not physiologically addictive. And as long as that's true, and especially our kids see that, and they see that double standard, and they're not allowed to, quotes, not allowed to touch this legal physiologically addictive substance until they're 21, they're going to do more of it when they're young. Because it's a don't go in the cookie jar taboo kind of thing. And making OWI laws tougher do not address the real issue. Joey, you even attempted to bring up the real issue just before the news break. What we need to do is put all this attention and energy into helping our elementary age kids recognize addiction. People who are on their multiple third, fourth, fifth OWI, which also almost always has an operating after revocation attached to it, don't care what the consequences are. Making the laws tougher is not going to affect these people.
Yeah, let's get a reaction to that. Making the laws tougher will not affect these people who obviously have some sort of problem if they're going to get arrested multiple times for drunk driving. John Sender.
Well, 68% of drunk drivers who are involved in fatal and serious injury crashes had no prior OWI in Wisconsin. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that just cracking down is going to fix the problem. It isn't. Young people, kids, our kids, learn by observation and by the attitude surrounding them. That's simply the way it is. That's why I think we want to attack this problem, not just through legal changes, through changes in law and uniform attacks of this problem, using all the laws on the books, but we need to affect this through how we approach alcohol, what our overall attitudes are about alcohol, and the fact that alcohol seems to be ingrained in just about every social activity in this state, and we need to start changing that.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts, though? Advocates for lowering the drinking age to 18 and others say that having this artificial, not artificial, but this number of 21 saying you can't touch alcohol until you're 21 does make it a forbidden fruit and encourages underage drinking. Do you have any response to that?
Well, I'm not sure that really is going to the heart of the problem. We know that young people drink, underage drinkers attack this because it's cheap, and it's because it's available, and because they're modeling the behavior of the adults around them.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Jim in River Falls is next. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. With respect to the multiple offense drunk driving, I agree with the last caller that there are people out there who have a chemical dependency, and no matter what penalty you attach to it, they're out of control and won't change your behavior. But my solution is more results-oriented in that why can't we get the vehicles out of the hands of the multiple offense drunk drivers by passing a law that you aren't allowed to sell them a vehicle. If you give them a vehicle to drive, you get to sit a year in jail with them. Interlock devices would be another thing, but get the vehicles out of the hands of the repeat drunk driver. And that's on a solution side. On an anecdotal side, there's a community up in northern Wisconsin which held an event called Barley Fest recently where the city ran the buses to take people out to a beer drinking event to the city facility. The place was crowded, people were drunk, but yet the following day there was a state marching band competition in that same city and they didn't run any buses for that. So the culture of drinking is also a problem when municipalities will support a drunk event, but won't support our kids going out and doing a marching band competition.
Yeah, well, at least those people in the Barley event weren't driving home drunk.
Well, yeah, there were lots of cars in the parking lot, too, dear. It was just... Why would the city support an event where people can go out and get plastered?
What's your reaction to that, John Sender?
Well, we've been talking about that all morning, and this is Wisconsin. Those of us who are lifelong residents of the state know that alcohol is a critical part of virtually every community activity and gathering in Wisconsin. I mean, it just is. And I'm not talking about Packer games or Brewer games or whatever. It's everything. High school reunions, it's college reunions, it's business groups, it's everything. Alcohol is a big part of our state's culture. We're awash in excessive consumption of alcohol. And just to get back to your last caller, we would support the expanded use of ignition interlock devices, and we also think that we should legalize sobriety checkpoints. These are not fix-alls. These are not going to fix the problem. What's going to fix the problem, we think, is everyone getting engaged in this as recognizing that this is a problem.
Yeah. You know, we talked about a lot of the proposed solutions you have on your legislative agenda, from harsher drunk driving penalties to other issues. But is there anything we didn't talk about that we should before our hour escapes us? Anything on the agenda that you hope legislators will be looking at first thing?
Well, we're hopeful that by having a statewide approach on this issue, that we can begin this discussion, this dialogue with our lawmakers, with our policymakers, with everyone in Wisconsin, and, as I said, change the culture around the mm-hmm. alcohol abuse in Wisconsin.
Anita in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My daughter is a 14-year-old sophomore at Pulaski High, came home, said to me, Mom, I want to take part in this Students Against Destructive, it's sad, mm-hmm. the SAD organization. They want to do a mock accident at the high school in the community. And it's really interesting because she has to get parental permission in writing. There will be ambulances, helicopters, police, fire department, school-wide accident scene. There will be counselors on there present. She has to get written permission to be put in a body bag.
Oh.
And if I'm the parent, I will be taking full participation. So I think it'll be a really incredible community learning event. And she's really excited about potentially doing this.
Yeah, so you're behind this too, Anita.
I think so. Yeah. I think just community awareness, because it doesn't do any good if my kid's not participating in drunk driving, but if, you know, the other kids in her English class or her sophomore class are driving around town drunk.
Yeah,
you know,
that
it is kind of a community thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that SAD is Students Against Drunk Driving.
I guess they now call it Students Against Destructive Decisions.
Oh, okay.
Destructive Behavior. Yeah, something like that.
Well, what do you think of that type of effort, John Sender?
It's terrific. I applaud that community. I applaud the mom for joining with her daughter on this educational program. That's the kind of thing we need.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Anita. And Terry in Dodgeville is with us now. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What my concern is, there's been a lot of talk about reducing the drinking age to 18 and that kinds of stuff, but what my concern is, as a mom, and both of my kids are now over the age of 21 and I think pretty responsible adults, but the toughest years were between the age of 18 and 21, where children, young adults, are considered legally responsible for themselves at the age of 18, all the way from signing contracts, they can own, operate, and bartend in a bar, but are forbidden the drink until the age of 21. Mm. What are parents to do as far as being able to support, control, be involved in their decision-making, you know, skills or whatever between the age of 18 and 21?
Yeah.
Maybe they should look at increasing the adult legal age from 18 to an older age to compare more with the drinking age, gives parents much more control.
Well, that's an interesting point. Is, you know, what about the parental efforts when it comes to trying to control the problems associated with underage drinking? I don't know if we need to go into raising the age of majority here, but I mean that's a tough one for some parents, especially when it comes to their kids who are 18 years old.
Absolutely. My son's 18 years old, you know, and as your caller said, he's considered an adult in almost every other way. I guess the way we've tried to bring up our son, and I guess many other parents try to do, is to model our behavior, to have respect for these laws, and to hopefully have them understand that drinking underage causes problems. It'll get you into trouble. It's a big problem. It is a dichotomy. It's one of those things that doesn't make complete sense. We know that young people, that their brains look different. They're just, you know, obviously, they're totally, as they age, our brains change, our bodies change, our judgments change. But we do know, I think it's fair to say that raising the age of of alcohol, being legally able to drink alcohol to the age of 21, had a huge impact on reducing the slaughter on our highways. Mm. It did work. And I think this is why it's not just a law problem. It's not a legislative problem. It's a cultural problem, societal problem. It's a family problem.
We only have 30 seconds to go. Are you hopeful that our new state legislature is going to be able to tackle some of these issues which have been so debated in the past?
We have some terrific leaders in Madison, Representative Brousseau, Senator Risser, just to name two. Are really going to take the lead on these issues. We think that we can begin this long journey to change our culture.
Thank you so much for being here. John Sender, spokesperson for UW Health, which is leading the AWARE effort, All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.